In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, interesting times. God is with us. You have to remember, Jesus said to Louisa very clearly, he said, when he was on earth, he said to all his disciples, when it was ready, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. And all of them walked away. And Jesus turned to his apostles and he said, are you two going to leave me? And Peter, the head of the church, said very clearly, you know, where can we go? We believe you are the Son of God. We believe this. And where else can we go? And it's the same situation today. Remember what Jesus told St. Faustina, the final devotion I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. You have to understand it's a bump in the road, really. I mean, people have hated Louisa or misunderstood Louisa. And the evil one doesn't want this at all, because he knows if the kingdom of God comes on earth as it is in heaven, if the Our Father is fulfilled, he's out of here. And he knows his time is short. And he's going to have some tough times soon. But in the meantime, he's going to try to make it tough for us. But, you know, Jesus keeps on telling Louisa, be courageous. Don't be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of. God is in charge. He's got everything planned, and he needs us to cooperate with him. He needs us to really begin to give our fiat. So we're going to continue and listen to what Jesus says to Louisa. If you haven't seen the document to bishops, priests, and deacons, read that. You'll be comforted. You'll be comforted when you see all that these heroic men have witnessed because they knew Louisa. So don't be afraid. Don't worry. It's a bump in the road. And I can guarantee you that even if everything goes dark, there's going to be light. And the light is Jesus and what he has planned for his children, and that's sanctification. So be of good cheer. You know, there'll be many who will be, you know, oh, finally we can get out of this, you know, because it's the divine will is to give up your human will, give up your worry, your fear, your anxiety, your complaints, your negativity, your sin. For us, it's fiat. Okay. So let it be done as you say. And we have to remember, The saints have always said must go to Calvary. The bride of Christ must go to Calvary and be crucified with the Lord. This brings about sanctification. Jesus has done this. Our Lady went to Calvary. Jesus said she was so filled with sorrow that if it wasn't for the divine will, she would have died. And so the two, Jesus and Mary, she was with Jesus on Calvary. Jesus redeemed us, and Our Lady was with him. And now, after 2,000 years, the kingdom is coming. Hang on to your hat. It's going to be bumpy, but it's going to be good. So we're at volume 25, October 17th, 1925. My daughter, each truth, each lesson, each manifestation on my divine will is not only a divine life that I have issued for myself. So here, Jesus is showing us that as he, the word of God, speaks, it's a divine life, that issue that comes from God that he wants to breathe into us. Like he said to Louisa, I can't bring you back to where Adam was before the fall with a breath, he says, because Adam wasn't formed. Adam was just infinite dust, basically. And God could breathe in that dust as much as he wanted, and formed Adam. And what came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. So with this, we have to understand too that God is breathing into us with each word that he speaks. So he says this to Louisa. Now this is volume 25. This is now we're entering into this understanding of the receiving again the divine inheritance of the Father, that which Adam lived. So each truth, each lesson, each manifestation on my divine will is not only a divine life that Jesus has breathed from himself, but it possesses a sweet enchantment to enchant the human will, that enchanted by my most holy divine will feel itself under the enchantment of an inactivity that will give free field of action to my divine will. So we're as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, if you haven't begun to read the calendar for February, it is unbelievably beautiful. Every day, God is breathing into us this divine truth, this divine lives, with each word as the word of God. And he says that the human will is enchanted by the divine will. We look at this and we go, how much our God loves us. And under that enchantment of an inactivity, we're not living there yet, it will give free field of action to my divine will. So the soul will say, yes, I want this. Let it become alive in me. And this new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II told us to get ready for, again, he spent 27 years going around the world telling everyone, get ready for the third millennium, get ready for the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. And we are in this point, we're at this point right now where soon this new and divine way of holiness is going to be given to the world. And you have to remember, Jesus said to Louisa when she was going through her difficulties years ago, he said, Louisa, because she says, who's going to bring this out? Who's going to do this? I don't see anybody. And Jesus said, Louisa, I'm going to do this. So we know that the Lord is going to reveal this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies that was breathed into Louisa. And now he wants to breathe this into us. He wants us to become alive with the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. So as we read, and you know, see the index was, and the index ended, I think 1966, 67 by Pope St. Paul, the sixth, it was ended, which meant, I remember I was in the seminary at the time. And I remember saying, you know, who is this man that's allowing all these words to come out of the Vatican? But knowing now that that was part of God's plan. This is part of God's plan. He's saying to everyone, what do you want? I have to give you what you want. Now, if we're reading the Book of Heaven, we're being enchanted, as Jesus says, by the divine will. We are realizing that God wants more for us than being good and holy and saintly, like he taught the saints. He wants us, as the priest does every day at Holy Mass, puts a drop of water in the chalice, and he says, may we share in the divinity of Christ. This is what's going to be for all of humanity. And the evil one can't stop it. He can't stop it. And there are some good people who can't, Jesus says, they can't believe, because it's a gift. This gift of gifts, as a gift, can be always rejected. Like he said, what happened, you know, 2000 years ago when he says, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. A lot of people say, I don't want that. Jesus didn't mean that. Jesus didn't say, eat my flesh, drink. Those are the words he says, nah, chew my flesh. My flesh is real flesh. My food is real food, real drink. My blood is real drink. It's the same thing with worship. A lot of people today say, oh, my praise is the worship of God. That's not worship. Worship is sacrifice. And there's two types of worship in the world. There's the blood sacrifice to Lucifer, and there's the blood sacrifice to God. It's Jesus, to the Father. He took upon himself all our sins. So which sacrifice are most people involved in? I mean, war is a blood sacrifice. All these wars, young men, young, healthy men, bleeding to death, and women bleeding to death. It's a blood sacrifice. So what Jesus is saying, he wants us to understand this gift of gifts. And the more that you read this, the more that you study it, the more you're enchanted by it. It's like, wow, how much our Lord loves us, that he wants to bring us back to that perennial communion that Adam had before the fall, where he walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening. So Jesus says, I've given Holy Eucharist to my church, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist, to get them ready for the first bread, the bread of the divine will that Jesus and Mary lived on, that Adam lived on before the fall. And so he's trying to teach us how to begin to be nourished by this abundant life, not just life, but the abundant life of Jesus and Mary. So volume 25, November 4th, 1928, my daughter, each truth, each manifestation, each lesson on my divine will, this is so perfect for today, is not only a divine life that I have issued from myself, but it possesses a sweet enchantment to enchant the human will, that enchanted mind, and enchanted by my divine will feel under the enchantment of an inactivity that will give free field of action to my divine will. You cannot comprehend the great dowry. See, this is the wedding feast that you have been endowed with by God, with these truths. You cannot comprehend this dowry, this, what God is calling, he keeps on saying to Louisa, heaven is the wedding feast where God and man will be one. Heaven and earth will kiss. Humanity and creator will kiss. It's this new and divine way of holiness, this great dowry that you've been endowed with by these truths that, like many lights, are fixed in your soul, Louisa. When she died, she saw these lights, these globes of light coming from her. And she says, these are all the acts that I have done. These are the lights that are fixed in her soul that lead her into the kingdom. And we're going to see that as well. God is true to his word. And he says very, very clearly through the saints, all the saints wanted to be alive at this time for what God is going to give to the world. They knew it was going to be glorious. And as you read the book of heaven, you're just in awe of how amazing our God is, how much our God loves us. So you cannot comprehend the great dowry that you have been endowed with by God, with these truths that, like many lights, are fixed in your soul. That's what's happening to us when we learn how to pray the rounds, when we learn how to do our acts in the divine will. You're not alone anymore. You're one with God. It's as much as you want or as little as you want. And it's the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve that we begin to give to God from a divine perspective. I can't do that, but Jesus can. The mother of God, Theotokos, she can, to give birth to this life of Jesus and Mary. The whole of heaven, Jesus says, is amazed at seeing so many lights in you, Louisa, that are all pregnant with many divine lives. This new and divine way of holiness is the most glorious thing that a human can possess at this time. And it makes sense that the evil one doesn't want this to happen. And he's using good people who misunderstand, like he used the priests of Louisa's day, who came in and took all the writings. And so now they're bringing up this past again, which Cardinal Ratzinger at the time made clear that the writings that were condemned, okay, the writings that were condemned, were not Louisa's writings. It was her spiritual director. This is what Cardinal Ratzinger proved. Her spiritual director, Father Calvi, was reading and saying, why don't people understand this? It's a gift. They couldn't understand it. They didn't want it. So he crossed out pages that Jesus told Louisa and wrote his own. Jesus, she meant this, That book, the Hours of the Passion, that book, The Virgin Mary and the Kingdom, those two books were the books that were condemned, that her spiritual director rewrote. And when they said, your books are condemned. What are you going to do? She goes, I condemn them too. And she go, they go, why? She goes, those aren't Jesus's words. That's not what Jesus said to me. So she understood very, very clearly that her spiritual director, a good man, wanted to help people understand this. And from his perspective, he misguided. So again, the translations are the most important thing. And we've been waiting for the translations now from the beginning, basically. And I remember the cardinal saying to Archbishop Bicherri, we're waiting for Trani. See, Trani has to do the translations. Trani knows the Puglian dialect. We're waiting for those translations. And I remember the cardinal said to Archbishop Bicherri, in all languages. And Archbishop just shook his head. Yes, I know. He was trying his best. But God's got the perfect timing for this. It's if we wait, it's because we're not ready yet. If there's a stalling, it's because God is saying, I haven't found, he said this to Louisa, when I find the souls that want to live in the divine world, more than anything, I will give it to the world. It's not to the world yet, which means he hasn't found anybody yet. There are too many who say they're living in the divine will, but it took Louisa 70 years of focused on the writings that what Jesus taught her. And then Jesus said, when you are filled with the divine will, I will take you to heaven. And then you will enter into this life. See, so I've heard people say some really strange things about Louisa, and it's not Catholic. And so as the church reviews this again, more people see every time they do this, every time there's a pause, they have the theologians look at this, and the theologians say, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. And then it goes on for a few years, and then somebody says something, and oh, well, let's look at it again. No, there's nothing wrong. And so what's happening is this pause is good because it's going to have people reread, restudy, and say, this is so amazing. This is so astonishing. And he said, little by little, people would begin to understand this. So this is a great time to be alive. The whole of heaven is amazed at seeing so many lights in you, Louisa. All of earth is going to be amazed at so many lights in you, Louisa. All pregnant with many divine lives. See, it's Jesus shows us it's Louisa that basically he said, if you're listening to the titles, this is just so amazing. The titles are so astonishing. Louisa, the destiny of the world is found in you, Louisa. That's what Jesus says. What's the destiny of the world? Sanctification. Who possesses sanctification? Jesus and Mary, that they breathed into Louisa. The life of Jesus and Mary breathed into Louisa. She's the first. That's why she's the firstborn. She's the newborn of the divine will. It's part of what has to happen. And we're going to see some bumpy roads. I mean, this is a bump in the road. But God is going to win. God is going to lead us, guide us, direct us to what he has planned. So Jesus says to Louisa, as you, Louisa, communicate them to other souls, this light winds its way and fixes itself in other hearts. Hopefully that's us. As we listen, as we read, as what she writes, we read, as we read this, as we study this, as we put this into practice, Louisa is communicating to us. Is it Louisa? No, it's Jesus and Mary. The saints have taught us with their prayer, their focus. I believe this, 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 and this in my prayer. And everybody would join religious communities I want to know more about what Jesus revealed to you, you know, St. Francis, St. Dominic, St. Benedict. I want to learn how to love God more. And they would dress the clothing of the founders or foundresses. They would begin to live this abundant life. And that's so narrow compared to what Jesus gives to Louisa. It's not what Louisa is thinking. It's what Jesus is breathing into Louisa. As Jesus would say to Louisa often, Louisa, these are not your words. These are not your writings. They're mine. So what is happening as you, Louisa, communicate these truths, these lessons, these manifestations to other souls, this light winds its way and fixes itself in other hearts, but without leaving you, Louisa, and forms the divine life wherever it reaches. So what's happening is the souls that are reading this, and I hear it constantly from people. They've said, you know, what would we do without the divine will? It's so beautiful. It's so hope-filled. It's so joyful. What would we do? And life is tough enough now that he, the Lord, knows to get through what's coming. And it's going to be tough. But how to get through what's coming is these divine lives that Jesus breathes into us as we read, as we study. And it's most of the time you can't put it in words what Jesus is doing for you. It's so beautiful. It's so holy. It's so perfect that it's just pure joy. It's heaven. So again, listen to what Jesus says. He says, the whole of heaven is amazed at seeing so many lights in you, Louisa, all pregnant with many divine lives. And as you communicate them to other souls, this light winds its way and fixes itself in other hearts, but without leaving you, Louisa, and forms the divine life wherever it reaches. This divine life of what? Jesus and Mary. Little by little, it's not that 100% isn't there yet. It's little by little. It's we're just scratching the surface. Jesus says to Louisa, basically, the man who has the keys to the kingdom is going to open these doors to heaven. And so there's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be worried about. It's God has got plans. And it's going to be a test of obedience. Louisa was always obedient. Like I said, when they said, Louisa, your writings are condemned. What do you say? She goes, well, I condemn them too. And they go, how can you condemn what Jesus told you? She says, these aren't the words of Jesus. So if this is not, this has to be condemned. Now, that's not what's happening today. What's happening today is a misunderstanding. Again, the translator is the traitor. And we were told by Archbishop Piccieri and the Vicar General way back when, that the translations we have are the best. And why? Because the woman who translated him was from Puglia, that area, and knew the dialect and knew what each word meant in the depth of that word. And so when she translated, she said, when she reads Louisa's writings, because she has the copies of it, she hears her grandmother speaking to her, and she understands that dialect. So again, it's another time of, you know, refocusing on, see, God wants everybody to possess this. And if there's a bad translation from other translations, I remember way back when volume 7, the original volume 7 that we had, you know, translated was Italian, translated into Portuguese, translated into Spanish, then translated into English. So it was mistake after mistake after mistake. And it was so bad. I remember the Vicar General said to me personally, he says, don't read those. That's bad translations. So today, this is good. We're going to get a better translation, better understanding from the Holy Church, because it's Trani who translates. It's Trani's mission, the Diocese of Trani, to translate these writings. Why? They're in charge of the cause. That's why they went through the cause and they said, there's nothing against faith or morals, and presented it to the Vatican. And everything was going along pretty good until there was a bump in the road. And God will use that for his glory. He always does. He's such a great God. So in volume 25, December 5th, 1928. Oh, how well one feels in the midst of this light, this book of heaven, because it is life. It is word. It is happiness. So here, Louisa is delighting, and Jesus tells this to Louisa, how well one feels in the midst of this light. And those who are reading the book of heaven know that. It's very, very clear. Don't become afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be worried about. This is going to happen. The kingdom is coming, and the evil one, you know, he's terrified. I mean, the 6,000 years that we've been under the thumb of the evil one is coming to a close. How do we know this? Because we've entered the 7,000th year. And then when you read sacred scripture, it's so obvious. The Genesis says the evening of the first day, the morning of the second day, the evening of the second day, the morning of the third day. But there's no morning or evening of the seventh day. Why? It's now. And Jesus says the true proof that the kingdom is coming is the book of heaven. So as we continue to read, as we continue to study, it's a glorious time. Obedient to the church always. We have to be obedient, because Louisa was always obedient. You know, she was always obedient. When Jesus said, stop eating, you know, no more eating, no more drinking, she obeyed. And then when the bishop said to her, you must eat because you're no different than anybody else. You must eat every day. So Louisa every day was obedient. And Father Bucci was there. We've mentioned this before. But gave the Aunt Rosaria fixed a breakfast for Louisa. That's all she had. A couple crackers and like three grapes. So he brought it to Louisa. Louisa ate them, swallowed them, chewed them, swallowed them. And then shortly after that, the cracker came out of her mouth. She put on the plate. The other cracker came out. The grape came out. The grape came out perfectly whole. He saw her. He witnessed her eating, swallowing, and them coming out, not vomiting, but they just came back up and she put them back on the plate. He said about the grapes, they were glistening. They looked so beautiful that he wanted to devour them. Now here, this is Louisa. She was obedient to Jesus. She didn't eat anymore, but she was obedient to, that sounds contradictory, but this is what she did. She was obedient to the bishop. So again, God, I mean, who is this little newborn? Who is she? And when we listen to those titles, we get a glimpse of what God has planned for humanity. So Jesus says to us through Louisa, oh, how well one feels in the midst of this divine light, because it is life. It is word. It's Jesus speaking to us. It's divine happiness. The soul feels within herself all the reflections of her God, her creator, feels the divine life giving birth within her bosom. So here this is what she says here. Everybody who's reading, who's really in love with the divine will, you feel this. You feel this light, this life, this happiness, this joy. You feel within yourself this reflections of the creator. You feel within yourself this divine life being given birth within her bosom. Oh, divine will, how admirable you are. You alone are the fundicator. You alone are the preserver. You alone are the bilocator of the life of God in the soul. See, this is your whole prayer life changes when you read the divine will. Your whole life changes. It's not about pleading with God. You know, it's most of us have lived. Yeah. I've been praying and praying and praying and nothing seems to be happening. Well, Jesus said to the apostles, ask, believe that you have received it and it is yours. When the woman grabbed the tassel of Jesus, when she was bleeding, hemorrhaging for 18 years, Jesus said, who did this? And the apostle says, there's all this crowd. How can you say who did this? And Jesus knew who did it. But he wanted to hear from her, why did you do this? And when you read the scripture, it says very clearly she explained everything to him. What did she explain? what Leviticus said. The Messiah will heal by the hem of his garment, the tassel on the tillet, the tassels. She grabbed that tassel. And Jesus goes, he felt someone did this. He felt power go from him. And then she explains everything. What did she say? I believe you are the Messiah. And then what does Jesus say to her? It was a private conversation between her and Jesus. But what does he say to her? It's your faith that has healed you. This is why Jesus says to us, the final devotion I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. I believe in you. I have confidence in you. What does that do? It gets rid of all the human misery. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, to the point of no more sin. This new and divine way of holiness is ours. And this is why she says, oh, divine will, how admirable you are. You are the preserver, the bilocator of the life of God in the soul. See, Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, what do? They come to earth. Why? To start again this universal life that Adam lost, this Catholic life. And now as we're ending or coming to the end of this era, how do we know that's happening? Our Lady of Revelation said that to Bruno in 1947. Very clearly, she said, time has now come to an end. And Bruno goes, the end of the world. I mean, it's all this misunderstanding. And she goes, no, the end of this era, the end of the reign of the evil one. The 6,000 years has basically come to an end. The kingdom is coming. Now the 7,000th year, this time of rest with God, this day of rest, the seventh day we're entering into. This is indeed the most glorious time. Don't lose heart. You know, keep on reading. And as you read, this is what's going to happen. Oh, how well one feels in the midst of this light, because it's life, it's word, it is happiness. The soul feels within herself the reflections of her creator, feels the divine life being given birth within her bosom. See, as soon as you say, I want the divine will, Jesus says, you're giving Jesus your heart as his throne. And then every act that you do, every round that you do is another particle, another cell, if you want to say, in this body of Christ that he's the Lord, and it's growing in you. To the point of Jesus says, I want you to give birth to me. That's what we just read a little either, giving birth within her bosom. Not the way Our Lady did. She's Theotokos. She's the mother of God. But he says, this is what he says in volume 36. I made the senses for man. I want to gaze in your gazing. I want to hear in your hearing. I want to speak in your speaking. I want to walk in your walking. I want to dance in your dancing. I want, as God, to sing in your singing. I want you to be in my likeness. So when you have Jesus reigning in you, in your family, there's no more screaming lunatic anymore. There's no one who's impatient anymore. Why? It's Jesus. And you have that patience to deal with situations. You have that love of Jesus and Mary in your heart that helps you get through the most difficult times. To me, the difficult times are bumps in the road. It's just, we're on a stagecoach. And I said this to some friends of mine in Texas. I said, I think, this was a while back, I think we're going to be on a stagecoach and there's no padding on the stagecoach then on that bench. And we're going full tilt through the prairie, riding, bouncing all over the place. And the guy said to me, oh, that's going to be painful. That's where we are. It's not too, perfection isn't here yet, but it's coming. This is why you alone are the preserver. You are alone the bicreator of the life of God in humanity. We're going to go back to where Adam was before the fall. Jesus says this. The whole reason for his crucifixion, death, and resurrection was not only to redeem us, he tells Louisa, but to sanctify us. And after these 2,000 years, we get to the point where through difficulties, I mean like Joan of Arc, She led this battle. What does she say? I am not afraid. God, she says, I was born for this time and God is with me. God is with us. Nothing to be afraid of, nothing to be worried about. You know, I mean, you hear it all the time. Be a man, you know, stand up and fight for the truth. We fight for the truth, Jesus says, with a weapon of love. That's how we fight for the truth. God is going to win. God can't lose. No matter what, he can't lose. So hang in there. Don't get worried. Don't be fearful. Don't be anxious. Say to Jesus, I trust in you. You like he said to the apostles, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. And everyone left. And he turns to his apostles, will you too leave me? That's the question he's going to ask us. And we have to be Peter. Where can we go? We know you have the words of life. We trust in you. We believe in you. We have confidence in you. That's why, oh, divine will, how admirable you are. You alone are you are the one that gives life. You're the preserver. You're the bilocator. You're of the life of God in the soul. Hang on to your hat. It's going to be bumpy, but it's like climbing a mountain. No one said it would be easy. And as you climb the mountain, you know, you slide down, you climb back up, you get scraped knees, you get scraped hands. It's tough, but the kingdom is coming. And God wants to see what we want. So he's helping us embrace this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies. Even if you're right now, you know, your family doesn't want it. Your neighbors don't want it. Your coworkers don't want it. You want it. So Jesus is saying, how much do you want this? It's just so good. It's so great that that God is with us. And we were born for this time and we are not afraid. 5:25, December 8th, 1928. Louisa said, I was thinking, why did all creation exult with joy and celebrate so much the Immaculate Queen and her Immaculate Conception? So here, this insight, when our Lady was created, that all of creation exalted and celebrated so much our Mother and Queen in her Immaculate Conception. Okay, here, giving us an insight of why we as Catholics love Our Lady. Why? So Jesus says this. He wants us to fall more in love with his mother as he loves her. He wants us to fall more in love with the church as he loves the church. His bride. What he's doing now is he's ironing the dress, the wedding dress, getting the stains off the wedding dress, getting it perfect for the wedding feast. My always loved Jesus moved in my interior and told me, my daughter, do you want to know why the all of creation exulted with joy and celebrated so much at Our Lady's Immaculate Conception? Because the divine will had at the beginning of its life in the celestial tiny little girl. The divine will had the beginning of its life, what Adam lost, now even more fully than what God breathed into Adam is happening. He says, therefore, the beginning of all the goods in all humanity, so there is no good that my divine will does not begin, that descends and ascends back to its source. What is breathed out is breathed back in. Okay, so Jesus breathes into us, breathes out this divine, I love you. And he says, all of creation breathes back to God, a divine, I love you. And this is what Jesus is teaching us, the only ones that have fallen in creation, humanity, to breathe in, learn this divine, I love you in creation, learn this divine, I love you in redemption. And sanctification is letting Jesus and Mary breathe out in us this divine, I love you. I can't do divine things. I'm human, but Jesus can. Mary can. The new Adam and the new Eve can. And Louisa's the firstborn that allowed this to happen, where she breathes in this divine, I love you, And with Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, she breathes out a divine, I love you back to God, the way God originally planned. Adam failed. Jesus says, Louisa, you can't fail because he says, I am your Adam. Mary is your Eve, a new beginning. So he says, there is no good that in my divine world does not begin, descend and ascend back to its source, back to God. Therefore, since the celestial little girl from her very immaculate conception began her life in the divine fiat. And since Our Lady was from human stock, with my divine will, she acquired divine life. And with her humanity, she possessed the human origin of this divine life. See, this is so great. If you love Our Lady, read the prodigies of Our Lady. If you love Our Lady, you're going to hear, Jesus says this to Louisa, the saints have told what they know about my mother. He says, wait till you hear what I am going to tell you about my mother. From the Son of God, the Son of Mary is going to reveal to us this beautiful life of this beautiful soul, Theotokos, the one who gave birth to God. She acquired divine life within her humanity. She possessed the human origin for all of humanity. So Jesus and Mary breathed this life into Louisa, one born of original sin. What does that mean? It means Louisa, he says, the destiny of the world is now found in you. What I have given to you, what my mother has given to you, what the Father has planned from the beginning, this outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's going to consume the world in love, I've breathed into you, Louisa. Why? So that you can give it to anyone who wants it. So Our Lady had the power to unite the divine and the human. It's Our Lady who did this. Why do we have a statue of Our Lady, a picture of Our Lady in our house? Why do we have the crucifix in our house? It's Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. She had the power to unite the divine and the human. She gave to God what man had not given back to God, the Father, had denied to God, the Father, which is his most holy, which the what he didn't give to God was his human will. He made the human will in charge. I did it my way, Adam says. And we've been miserable ever since. Our Lady gave men the right to be able to ascend to embraces of her creator. Because of who is, I mean, we honor Our Lady. We don't worship Our Lady. We honor her as mother and queen. As Solomon made his mother the queen of Israel. When you go to Our Lady, Our Lady's church in Rome, I can't think of the name of it, but down the street from John the Evangelist church, I think it's John the Evangelist. My mind's gone. Our Lady in the sanctuary, Jesus is crowning his mother, the mother church, if you want to say, of Mary in Rome. He's crowning her as queen of heaven and earth. He's the king. The son always makes the mother the queen. She gave to men the right to be able to ascend and embrace the embraces of her God. God's been waiting 6,000 years for humanity to come back. And we've entered the 7,000th year. And Jesus says, now is the time. Get ready for what I'm going to do. So continue to read, continue to study, continue to pray that this understanding of the divine will be for everyone. God doesn't want to lose anybody. So he's asking us, he's pleading with us to begin to live this abundant life. So may the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, and we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.